ever experienced something that you'd like to keep forever? Or you'd like to preserve it so others could experience it, could taste and see? Where I come from, the phrase we use is, I wish I could bottle that. It's a feeling, it's nice weather. Boy, I wish I could bottle this September sunshine. The leaves in October. Oh, I wish I could bottle that hillside in the fall. Today at the Radio Backyard Fence, what would you bottle and keep and share with others? I have a story for you. Tricia has a song from one of her children, and we have a phone number for you to call and participate today on Chris Fabry Live. I just know this is going to be good, because the only way you can bottle what we're talking about really is to keep it right here in the heart, in your memory, and share it with other people and let it reframe your perspective. So let's go. Let me thank Ryan McConaughey. Tricia, Pappy's in the chair. Aaron Gorn will be answering your calls today. And since today is Friday, that's right, it's time for the fabulous Fabry Friday Side. What does this do, Chris? Well, let me tell you. One, we oxygenate your blood. Two, we get your endorphins going. Three, we raise your serotonin level. Four, we promote lymphatic drainage. And we also stimulate your parasympathetic system. That's why we call it the five lung languages. We also stimulate your vagus nerve. Don't forget what it does to cortisol dissipation. Take in 4 seconds of air through your nose. Hold it 4 seconds. And then as you release that air through your mouth, push on the left side of your rib cage to get rid of all that bad carbon dioxide. This is our last sigh of September. That's right. 1 week from today, we'll have an October sigh. This sigh is for anyone who has seen a September sunset or sunrise, and it sparks something in your soul, and you think, I want to bottle that. This sigh is for anyone who's seen a bird in flight and has paused to marvel at the majesty of such a thing. This sigh is for those who stumbled onto some soda concoction, a mixture of this and that and something else, and they thought, we ought to bottle that. And they gave birth to Dr. Something or Coke or something. Maybe it's the sound of a cat purring. Wouldn't you like to bottle that contentment? Fabulous Fabry Friday sighs brought to you by God's Bottlers in your area. Good gifts from above, Incorporated. All rights reserved. I'd like to bottle Dr. Erwin Lutzer's voice. There's something about the resonance, the way it cuts through everything, even on a telephone. This month, we've been giving his book, A Practical Guide for Praying Parents, to anybody who supports us with a gift of any size. You've put it off. Don't do it anymore. We're coming down to the end of September. And by the way, thank you for your generosity. You know who you are. You've really come through for us here at the back fence this month. Something happened on that conversation. We took a turn at a point in the program. We were focusing mostly on parents or grandparents who have prodigals or children who are wandering. And Dr. Lutzer turned the spotlight on anyone who is desperate. Listen to this.
Regardless of your past, regardless of where you are at spiritually, regardless of the multitude of your many failures, come to God as you are through Christ. Connect with God about your own need. Connect with God about your children and commit the mess to Him, the mess that you've made. God, this is your mess. I can't straighten it out. I only make it worse. Show your glory and your grace in the midst of the mess, because I can't straighten it out. And so God loves desperate people, by the way, and yes, only really desperate people pray. And this is why it's so important for us to call on Him in the name of Christ, and we'll be listened to.
If that describes your life, you know, it's a mess, you had it planned this way, and things are going this way. Listen, if you are desperate, you are in a really good place for God to do something in you and through you. And if the desperation is because of your children and the weight that you're carrying about them, I want to send you a copy of this. In the book, there's a section of just basically Monday through Sunday. Monday's a prayer blessing for your children. Tuesday, a prayer to keep your children from evil. Wednesday, a prayer for freedom from self-incrimination. Prayer for purity on Thursday. See, a lot of parents just, they don't know, or grandchildren, God bless them, help them, because you don't know everything that's going on in their life. But with this as the template, Friday, a prayer to grasp their identification with Jesus Christ. Saturday, a prayer for spiritual enlightenment. Sunday, a prayer for Sundays and for Sundays to come. So if you'd like a copy of this, call us 866-95-FABRI. This is the last Friday, I can tell you. 866-953-2279. Or go to chrisfabrilive.org. Maybe you've never given. You've never seen a reason to because, well, you're there every day, right? Let me send you a copy of this. Maybe it's for you, or maybe it's for a struggling parent that you know or grandparent. I think it'll really encourage them. Just go to chrisfabrilive.org, scroll down, see how you can become a backfence friend. So I was talking with Tricia. Actually, I was emailing her, and this topic just kind of came to me. I interrupted myself as I was typing. That's it. I wish I could bottle this. That's what I want to call this. Bottle this. Because I was trying to figure out, how do I present this idea to you? I'd seen a Facebook post by somebody I don't know, who's not my friend. I don't know how it showed up. Magical. And I want to read it to you. I want to paint a picture for you. But here's my heart in this. These things that we'll want to bottle today are described in the middle of some really difficult situations around the country. Thinking of Louisville, the election less than 40 days away, the rancor is growing. There's a lot of angst and fear and unrest, and it's amplified by social media and the regular media. So this conversation is not to deny any of the things that are going on around us, but it's simply to notice the other things that are there too, if we'll look for them, if we can see them. I found this verse today in Proverbs, and I thought, you know, this is our lane at Moody Radio, and particularly in this hour of the day. I think it's in Proverbs 25. To those who send him, a trustworthy messenger is like coolness of snow on a harvest day. He refreshes the life of his masters. And I thought, I want to be a trustworthy messenger like that. And I'd never seen this. You know, I'm thinking of snow in the middle of harvest. It's like, I don't want my hay to get wet. That's all I could think of. But the juxtaposition of the hard work and then the snow that cools everything down, it refreshes it. It reframes things. And I thought, that's what we do. When we do what we do best, that's what I hear from people who respond, is this conversation refreshed me. That program was just what I needed at the time when we did the program yesterday. I got these emails of, I was really weighed down heavily because I knew I needed to apologize to somebody, and I was under the weight of that. And hearing others be vulnerable about it, you know, brought me to a different place. So let's see what will happen to this topic today. Here's the post I saw, the picture I saw. It's a grocery cart. It says Bashes on it. It's a grocery store chain in southern Arizona. And in front of the grocery cart is another cart, an older gentleman with gray hair. He's got a little bald spot on top. He's standing at customer service. And he has his hand on the cart. And in front of him on the counter is a gallon of milk. That's all you can see. And he's wearing a short sleeve shirt, and he has jean shorts pulled up pretty high. And he has black shoes and white socks that go all the way to his knees. They look like compression socks that people who wear who might have neuropathy. I don't know that. I'm just guessing as I look at this. So that's the scene. Old man in front. And somebody else standing by who took the picture. And here's what it says. I was waiting in line to pay for my groceries while maintaining my 6 feet distance, when this man cut in front of me. He didn't appear to notice me. I didn't say anything. I maintained my distance. When it was time for him to pay, he reached in his back pocket and pulled out a small notepad. He'd forgotten his wallet. He looked a bit disappointed and embarrassed. I stepped up and told the cashier that I would take care of his groceries, which consisted of milk and chocolate chip cookies. He was more than grateful. He thanked me, and off he went. The cashier says to me, "He cut you off, and you paid for his groceries. Why?" I said, I hope if one day my dad forgets his wallet, somebody will step up and buy his milk and cookies. With all the negativity going on in the world, this poster said, I thought it'd be nice to share this moment. And I looked at that and I said, I wish I could bottle that. I wish I could bottle that and spread it around. And so that's what I'm going to do today. Maybe you saw something like that. Maybe you experienced a little glimpse of kindness to somebody else like that. Have you seen that? Have you noticed it in the middle of all that's going on? Is there anything that you'd look at? Maybe it's in nature. Maybe it's in your church. Maybe it's at the breakfast table. Tricia had this happen to her the other day. I'm not going to play it here. I'm going to wait until we come back. Tricia had this happen to her with one of her children the other day, and I said, would you record that? I want to play that. Recording and bottling is not the same thing, but it's pretty close. Is there anything that you have seen or experienced and you say, oh, I wish I could bottle that. I wish I could give it to somebody else. I wish I could spread this around. Oh, I want to hear you. 877-548-3675. That's our number. You can answer on Facebook. I'll read as many of those as I can if you want to post right there. But I'd love to hear from you today. 877-548-3675. A song is coming up straight ahead.
Do you remember that old ad from the 1970s for Clayton's? It's the drink you have when you're not having a drink. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Clayton's has become part of our language. A Clayton's drink looks as though it's alcoholic, but really it isn't. A Clayton's anything is something that looks real, but isn't. Question: is it possible to have a Clayton's person? You know, a person who's not really a person. A baby in its mother's womb, is that a Clayton's person? Or maybe the street people we walk around on the footpath. They're almost always smelly. Are they Clayton's people? Or maybe those workers in the factories across Asia who make the toys our kids play with and the clothes we wear, all for a few cents an hour. Are they Clayton's people? Jesus said, I've come to bring good news to the poor and to set the captives free. I wonder, when he looks around, whether he sees any Clayton's people on this earth. I wonder.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. As bad as COVID is, and it's bad, far more lives are being lost and destroyed by government edicts and violence, leaving everyone asking if life will ever be the same again, and it probably won't. Behind the scenes, Satan is manipulating power brokers and power-hungry politicians and evildoers of all types and descriptions to lead us down the path of destruction for America and the world. But here's the good news. Satan's filled the entire world with fear and confusion, which are the two highest motivators for prompting people to seek God's help and protection. This is an incredible moment of opportunity to let your light shine. Almost everyone is desperate to know God like you know him. And the worse it gets, the easier it will be to tell them, and God will flood your life with joy regardless of what's going on around you. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Thanks for joining us today at the Radio Backyard Fence. Our topic on Chris Fabry Live is, I wish I could bottle that. So I described what I just described to you, the scene at the grocery store, to Tricia. And she said, I have to tell you about Maisie. Maisie's their third child. Maisie was in the backyard the other day, and she was singing this song that we sing in church. And I said, can you record that? Could you take your phone? And so here is Maisie. See if you can identify the song that Maisie is singing. Here she goes.
Hallelujah, the great one who set me free. Hallelujah. And great love you set me free. Hallelujah.
And she's even got the tremolo in there. That's good. Okay, so that's she's singing the Phil Wickham song, Living Hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. And basically that's the line. That would just put that on repeat. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. But I'm okay with Maisie just doing that, praise the one who set me free. As a matter of fact, I wish I had bottled that. And here is, for the very first time, no one has ever heard this before in radio history. Ladies and gentlemen, Maisie McMillan and Phil Wickham together in the same place. Listen to this. I think Phil would say, yeah, you Maisie, keep going. And I love her pitch. She's in the same key and everything. I wish I could bottle that. And we did. We brought you a little bit of the heart of Maisie there with, and the heart of Phil with Living Hope. Now, how about you? Is there anything you've seen, heard, experienced? Sometimes there's just this flash of emotion that you have in something that goes on, and you want to grab a hold of it. And Adam is let's go to Adam first. Adam is in Michigan. Adam, why'd you call today?
Well, I called to let you know you're talking about basically bottling up memories to be able to savor them for later or to share them with another person as if they were fresh from the day that you remember them. I would like to be able to savor are all those good times of the laughter for laughter's sake.
Oh, you're breaking up, Adam. I heard you talk about laughter, though, and that was one of the things I wanted to get to. You know, the laughter of your children, the laughter. I can still remember the laughter of my father and the way that my father-in-law, he passed away almost a year ago. When he laughed, it was, you'd have to see it because he would throw his head back and you wouldn't hear anything, but his eyes would close and his mouth would be open. And when you really got him going, when you really tickled him, he would just laugh with everything. Let me bring you back in here. See if we've got you again. Adam, finish your thought.
Bottling a good memory of laughter, you know, of having fun and enjoyment with the ones you love, the ones that you cherish.
Yes. And, you know, just this one leads to another. I thought of my Uncle Willie. Everybody ought to have an Uncle Willie. And he was like 6'7" and he weighed 300 and something. And every time he would come, we'd have to reinforce all the furniture. But he would come, he would stay up late with us boys and he would play dominoes or he'd play rook. And just the laughter around that table. Oh, he's been gone. He's been gone several years. He and had my dad and Uncle Willie and I had an Uncle Johnny. All three of them died in the same year. And I miss that. Adam, thank you for that memory. Maggie is in Vermont. Maggie, what would you like to bottle?
Hi, yes, I'm calling from Vermont. I'm here out with my friend Jenny. And yesterday started out to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I got sent on what turned out to be a wild goose chase out to a rural town in Vermont. But I knew that there was this place called the Burger Barn out there, a small mom and pop place. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go there and get dinner for my family. And so I pull up, and it's a tiny little shack, and they're like, oh, we only take cash. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I go back to my car, and I'm like in the glove compartment in the seat, and I gather up all the dollars and the bills and the change, and I have $28.50. So I go up to the door, and I'm like, look, I want to order three burgers. Don't let me go over $28.50. So I order three different burgers, and they have all these really fun and creative burgers. And then she's like, oh, it comes to, you know, 24 and change. And I said, oh, do I have enough for fries? And she punches in. She goes, oh, no, it's going to come to 29 something. And I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. And then she looked at me. She goes, no, you need to have fries with your burger. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah. So I just literally took all the change from my hand, gave it to her, all the bills and the change and everything else like that. And the burgers, I have to tell you, if you're ever in Jeffersonville, Vermont, go to the Burger Barn. It's fabulous, friendly. The burgers are delicious. And then I was driving home, and the colors are changing. And it was just so gorgeous. And the whole day turned around. The whole day just turned around.
Okay. And this is the Friday Side brought to you today by the Burger Barn in Jeffersonville. you know, just as you say that, it makes me think of childhood memories or people who will say, we're going to pick apples and we're going to get apple cider and we're going early on a Saturday morning just as the all of those leaves are changing out there and the in Colorado, the aspens will turn yellow or gold and the crisp air is the same as in Vermont there, Maggie. But so there's something about too, there's something about food that brings it all together as well, right?
It's true. And I had the blue burger. My husband had the Samuel de Champlain burger and my son had the breakfast burger and it was fabulous.
I got to get to Jeffersonville. Where I'm from, there was a hot dog place called Stewart's. I think it's still there. And Stewart's had this secret sauce, and they also had this root beer that was the sweetest root beer that you could ever taste. And all of this is filtered through the memory of, you know, of childhood, so that the good tastes and everything are coming back to you. And just like the burger there. Maggie, thank you. I think Maggie was from Vermont, wasn't she? I think she got that in there. So we're bottling things today, and Deb is going to help us in Indiana. What could Deb want to bottle? Hey, Deb.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Glad you called. Go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to share something that happened this morning. I took my mother, who is 84 and has COPD. It's very difficult for her to get around. And I took her today to a Supercuts to get her hair washed and styled for her. You know, it's a little treat for her to get out. And when we got there, there was a gentleman checking out. He was in his early 30s, I'd say. And he checked out and left the store. And we sat down and she had her procedure done. And we went to pay. And the hairdresser said, by the way, the gentleman in front of you paid for your mother and doubled the tip for me.
Oh,
and, you know, it's such a wonderful thing for people to pay it forward like that. And I feel so, I'm praying to the Lord that he's listening to this so that I can say thank you to him.
Yes.
Because that's the hardest thing, is that this person doesn't know how much he made my day and my mother's day today.
Yeah. Oh, Deb. Oh, Deb, that I want to bottle that and spread it around, don't you?
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. You know, and here's the other thing, experiences. My dad used to cut my hair. He would cut I didn't go to a barbershop or Supercuts or wherever until I was later. What I don't wish I could bottle, I would bottle the feeling of his hands in my head, because he wouldn't use the comb, he used the clippers, but he'd run his hand through your hair so that your hair would stand up and he would cut in between his fingers. And just the feeling of his hand on your head was almost like, at the time I didn't know it, but looking back on it, it felt like a blessing. I'd like to bottle that. And give it to anybody who had a dad who never did that kind of thing, or They never had a dad, never knew their dad, or had an abusive father. I'd like to bottle that. Open it up. Lisa is in Mentor, Ohio. Lisa, why'd you call today?
I don't have any children of my own, but I taught Sunday school with mostly third grade and under for over 25 years. And there's a lot of things I'd love to bottle up about those, about the kids. But my favorite thing to remember, gives me such a good feeling, is when I'm presenting the Bible story. You have to understand, I don't just read the story. I sometimes am the character. I sometimes, we have props to do things. I act out the story as much as I can. Or I have them participate, or I have them interject. Like, I'll say, oh, yeah, and then Paul got in his car and drove to the next place. And I'll be like, Miss Linda, no, there was no car, you know, just to keep them listening. But sometimes, you know, they're fidgety or, you know, looking all over, and you're just not sure if they got any of it or not. And so afterwards, when you're talking about it or, asking questions, and they answer the question correctly, like they were listening to the story, and they sometimes come up with the greatest insights, like that I wouldn't, yes, as an adult, have thought of. And here they have come up with this incredible insight with this story, and that's just my, and their little face lights up like, I got it,
yes.
and that's my aha
yes.
moment.
Yeah, when you see somebody and so engaged that they'll stop you and say, Paul didn't have a car. When they're engaged like that, and really what you're talking about, Lisa, I think, is the spirit at work in their lives to be able to bottle that and show it to other people to encourage them. Here, read the Bible. See what's going on here. A lot of people talk about bottling things up so that you can keep it and put it aside. What we're talking about is bottling it so we can share it with others. How about you? 877-548-3675.
Now, Mr. Smith, if you take away all the witnesses and the murder weapon with my client's fingerprints, there really is no evidence. Is that not true?
Well, there's the written confession.
Okay, other than that, too.
I guess without all that evidence, there is no case.
Thank you, Your Honor. I rest my case.
That's it? Are you sure you don't need to defend me a little more?
Oh, trust me. This case is in the bag.
If there are no closing arguments, we'll excuse the jury for deliberation.
Your Honor, I speak for the rest of the jury. He's guilty as sin.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Uh-huh.
Very well. This court finds Mr. Winkelmeyer guilty and sentenced to life in prison.
Oh, that is so not good.
Well, bummer for you. You'll get my bill in the morning.
God will eventually be your judge. Are you prepared? The Bible says that Jesus speaks to the Father in our defense. Are you trusting Jesus with where you'll spend eternity?
To learn more, call 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us live at needhim.org.
Here's your change.
Thanks. Now, let's get to the car because we have to pick up your... Uh-oh, hold on.
What's the matter?
I think that girl just gave me an extra dollar and change. Yep, she did.
Cool, can I have it?
No, we need to bring it back.
Why? They made a mistake.
Yeah, but it's not ours. What if someone saw you drop a dollar bill, but they decided to keep it?
Well, that wouldn't be right. They'd know it was mine.
And that's exactly what we did. Come on.
Okay.
Ma'am?
What?
Excuse me, but I think you gave me too much change here.
Okay, whatever. She didn't say thanks. She didn't even know it was missing.
It doesn't matter. God knows.
Titus 2:6-8 says, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they have nothing bad to say about us.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott.
President Trump has appealed to Hispanic voters in Florida at a Latinos for Trump roundtable discussion. He's now in Atlanta for an event on black economic empowerment. He will also be in Newport News, Virginia later. Governor Ron DeSantis has lifted all restrictions on restaurants and other businesses in Florida. It's a move to reopen that state's economy. Efforts to extinguish more than two dozen major wildfires across California have benefited recently from low winds and normal temperatures, along with moist air flowing in from the Pacific. But forecasters say the weather pattern will reverse during the weekend as a ridge of high pressure boosts temperatures and generates gusty winds flowing from the interior to the coast. On Wall Street, the Dow had 408 points, the NASDAQ 252 points higher. This is SRN News.
I'm United.
I wish I could bottle that. That's what we're talking about today on Chris Fabry Live. And I wish I could bottle the sound of my mother's voice when I called her and she told me that my brother had fixed her oven. She makes these in her spare time at 93 She makes these cakes. She makes the most wonderful carrot cake that you've ever tasted with this special recipe. And it's not easy to do. Her oven broke. They got a new oven ordered for her and waited and waited and waited. Appliances during COVID are hard to come by, and the delivery and all that kind of stuff. And so my brother finally finagled things around and got the thing to work. And he said, you should have seen her. Within 20 minutes, she had a cake in there. This is after like weeks. Michelle is in Florida. Michelle, why did you call today?
When I heard the topic, instantly my grandmother's caramel frosting came to mind, and the donut shop in my hometown up in Georgia. My grandmother, she's since passed on, has given me her caramel recipe verbally because she didn't write recipes down. She just did it.
Yes.
I could never make it. It always ran off of the cake. It never adhered. I finally gave up because I didn't understand what a pinch of this. Okay, you're going to put a pinch of this. Not. I'm like, is that a teaspoon, a tablespoon? I didn't know what that meant. So I just gave up. But I have not tasted anybody's caramel frosting that tastes better than my grandma's.
Now, what would she put that on then? Would it be a cake or would it be donuts or what?
Oh, no, it would go on a three-layer yellow cake made from scratch. Oh, my goodness, I can just taste it now.
See,
and I can imagine having that with the donut. Donut shop in my hometown, let me tell you. They closed last year and I thought I was just going to absolutely die because my brother has overnighted them to me before. And when I was heading up there, they opened like 5 in the morning. They always knew I was coming. And you just got to be there because, I mean, sometime at 10 o'clock, they're sold out. And they come in at 2 to start making these donuts.
Right.
Let me tell you, and it's called Loyalist Donut. I am loyal to Loyalist. I will not touch a Krispy Kreme donut.
Now, let's not diss Krispy Kreme. Let's say equal time for all donut, but did you say it was Laura's Donuts?
No, it's Loyalist, L-O-Y-L-E-S-S.
L-E-S-S. Loyalist Donuts.
I converted. My friend went to Georgia with me, a diehard Krispy Kreme person. We argued for 7.5 hours. I said, okay, I'm not going to say any more. Tomorrow morning, the hotel we stayed at is going to be right across from the donut shop. She is converted.
Made a believer out of her. Back, all it took was one taste, right?
Yes, and we ate donuts. On the way back, we had to go to the donut shop. We're standing in there, so I order my dozen, and the lady's like looking at her, and I'm like, you better get your own. we ate donuts all the way back to Florida. I mean, 7.5 hours.
Okay, now where is this again? It's in Georgia?
My hometown is Donaldsonville, Georgia. It's like 65 miles northwest of Tallahassee. It's okay. It's the country. Peanut, cotton, and corn. That's what we're known for.
And Loyalist Donuts. Yes. All right. So we had the Burger Barn in Vermont. We got Loyalist Donuts, all the things that I've told you about. That Michelle, I need that. Ryan, play Maisie again. I want to hear Maisie right here. This fits in perfectly. I want to bottle that. Don't you? Michelle, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Maisie, thank you. And now let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and talk with Katie. Katie, why did you call here today?
Hi, dear. So I was listening in the car, and I just wanted to tell everybody about my bottle moment. I think it was yesterday that I sat down on the couch. My fiance and I are getting married in less than a month. And we have moved him into a townhome. And so we were sitting there in my soon-to-be townhome. But we were sitting there doing our Bible study together. And I was about to get in and without praying. And he held my hand and he said, let's pray. And so I looked over at him. I couldn't close my eyes. I just kept looking at him the whole time he was praying. And I was just so overwhelmed. And I started crying. And I just looked at him and I was like, Lord, thank you so much. Because we've been going through premarital counseling. And through this process, we have both grown so incredibly much as individuals. But we've also grown as a couple. And without the premarital counseling that we've had, we would not even be close to being ready to be married. And get off on a good foot and be strong in our relationship with each other and with the Lord. But listening to him pray and taking that initiative and holding my hand on our brand new couch that was just given to us, surrounded by everything that we could never have afforded without people helping us, just sitting there in that moment, I was just overwhelmed with thankfulness for my future husband and for the gifts that God has given us in this last month especially.
I can hear it in your voice, Katie, and that some people would say, well, she's, like Gary Chapman says, she's got the tingles, she's in love with him. Or remember the Bambi movie when the little thumper said something about somebody being Twitter-pated? You know, she's just being Twitter-pated. Yeah. No, there's something much deeper. You're going a lot deeper, and because you are in this relationship at this deeper level, and that doesn't mean that everything's going to be roses and bonbons the rest of the way, but you're starting off on this, you're connected to at a heart level. And it sounds like it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful wedding and marriage after that. And years, that's what I pray for you, Katie.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you. God bless you. Now here's the thing. You didn't ask for advice, but I'll give it to you. Here's the deal. Adrian Rogers said, God has made us different so that he might make us one. And so the different things that you have in your life where you're alike are the things that you think, well, this is going to pave the way and everything's going to be great. What the dirty little secret is the ways that you are different, the things that he does that in a couple of years that you can't stand, those are the things that are going to draw you together in a way that you can't imagine. So when you find something that's different about him or he about you, take that as an opportunity for God to melt your heart even more together to make you one. There's my counseling experience for you here today, Katie. What do you think about that?
I love it. And there's one thing that I heard years ago. I don't remember where I heard it, but it stuck with me ever since. And it's two visuals. I'm a music major, so one of them especially sticks with the violin, the first violin and the second violin. And for my marriage, I want to allow my future husband to be the first violin and to set the melody and set the pace. And I want to be his second violin to support him and to make him all the more beautiful in his decision-making and his choices. But for me, I could be, you know, on the stage as a ballerina. If I were to take the whole stage by myself, I could take the captive, or I could make the audience captive for me. But as soon as he comes out and helps me dance, I can reach higher heights, and I can go and make the faster twirls, and I can go ahead and do all these fun tricks that I wouldn't have been able to do just by myself, but with him supporting me.
Yes.
Then that's that. And so putting our differences together, putting our strengths together, as well as our similarities and our life goals together, then that's definitely what I want.
Well, and if you've got, it sounds like you've got a good one there, a good guy. If he is saying that same thing, you know, I'm going to listen to Katie, and I want her to play the melody, and I'm going to support, you know, when you got two people who are for each other like that, who aren't competing against each other, but who are, how can I make you better? How can I make your life easier? How can I make things happen here in our relationship that, you know, how can I come alongside you and do this? When you got two people doing that, then good things can happen. And when God's in the middle of it, God bless you, Katie. Thank you. Hang on. I want to find out when, tell Pappy when the blessed event's going to happen here. Cause I want to know about it. Before we take a break though, we got to go to Brenda. Brenda, why did you call? What do you want to bottle today?
I want to bottle your show today. I was riding down the street on my way to work, and I heard you guys' topic, and I heard the lady, the 84-year-old mother, that the man paid for her haircut. I heard that story, and then I heard you talk about your dad's fingers through your hair.
Yes.
My dad died in 2017, and he lived with me. And we didn't have a great relationship. We never had one. But he lived with me when he was sick, and he died. And I heard you say, for those who wish that their dad had run their fingers through their hair. I just know that there's a whole lot of people like that, a whole lot of boys and a whole lot of girls also. And if I could, I'd bottle up this show, and I'd share it with the world. I'm going right now to a Christian school in Oak Park for aftercare, and I'm definitely going to share it with the children, because one of the little boys at the school is being a little rowdy, a little different this year, you know, and I'm definitely going to take this to the school when I get there today.
Oh, Brenda, I would bottle your voice there and your experience and the loss and the struggle and the pain, you know, that you went through with your dad. You wanted a deeper relationship. You didn't have what you wanted, but it sounds like there's something that, you know, that did happen. It didn't happen the way you exactly envisioned it, but there was something where you loved him well until the end, right?
Yes. He lived with me for 5 years with cancer. And yes, he died from congestive heart failure, though, not the cancer, but yes. Yes. And one time he told me, I said, Dad, could you just be my dad, when he was fussing about something? And he finally said to me, I didn't have a dad, but I don't know how.
See, there it is. There it is. What is the quote of, I saw it just the other day. It's about, I'll find it in the break, and I'll read it to you, because that, I think a lot of men have this. You think they are mean, you think they are hard, you think they are unapproachable, and it's just that they have been walking through the pain of their lives for so long, they can't express what is on the inside. Brenda, God bless you. Thank you for blessing us with that story here today. I'm Chris Fabry, live and Moody Radio.
A newborn babe can be so fretful and disturbed. Seems like you can't do anything to comfort it. But when a mom pulls the baby close and begins to feed it, everything's okay. That's the way God wants to relate to us. One of the names of God is El Shaddai. That's usually translated God Almighty in English, but there's more to this name than suggested by that translation. El, or Elohim, speaks of God's power and strength. But the word Shaddai is a tender, touching word that speaks of a nursing mother supplying everything a child needs. the name El Shaddai, tells us that God is the strength giver and satisfier of his people. What do you need today? Instead of looking around for a solution or inward to your own strength, look to El Shaddai for everything you need. With Seeking Him, I'm Nancy DeMoss, Wagamuth.
I know I don't need to convince you that missionaries who do the best job are people of grace. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Missionaries who operate with grace as their standard don't try to turn people into Americans. They don't try to make Western culture the standard for everyone's living. No, when they're in Asia, they minister to Asians in the context of Asia. They appreciate differences there might be in a culture or a mindset. There's grace there. There's a lack of predictability. There's freedom. There's a willingness to adapt. Hey, we all are missionaries, aren't we? Let's operate in a manner full of grace as we seek to minister to everyone around us.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
I found it. The quote is from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who said, "Every man has his secret sorrows which the world knows not, and oftentimes we call a man cold when he is only sad." Isn't that good? I've often thought about that, of the people who have walked through life. It could be a mother too, but I think often it's a man who can't express what's on the inside. Secret sorrows that have taken him down the trail that no one knows, that he's bottled up, and we see him as cold when all he is sad. Hazel is in Big Prairie, Ohio. Hazel, tell me about your dad.
My dad, when we were little, my little sister and I, we were dairy farmers, so he put off going to the barn for a little while for this process. He would sit in his favorite chair in the corner of the kitchen and let us put curlers in his hair.
Oh, I wish I you never got a picture of that, did you?
Yes, we did.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, Hazel. And what is the emotion when you tell that story? What would you like to bottle about that?
Oh, just the happy, relaxed, all is well with the world feeling.
Yes, yes. Oh, we need that, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And for your dad to be able to take the time to slow down, you know, dairy farming is hard to do, and it's something to do all the time. And for him to be able to sit there, sit still, so that you could put curlers in that. Do you see what I'm saying about this bottling thing? It catches. It's contagious. Rosa in Aurora, Illinois. Why did you call today?
Hi, Chris. It's so nice to speak with you. I called because when my kids were little, I had this piece about them being tucked in bed after their shower and their prayers. And I never knew that I would unbottle it now with my grandkids. And it makes it specifically special because one of my kids is a prodigal child. She's a wayward child. Those are her children. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about all the things we've been through with her and how difficult she's been with us, it's so wonderful to remember how beautiful it was when she was little and how sweet it was. And now I see her daughter and I remember, because we have them every weekend. She lets us have them every weekend. And we're not out of the woods with her, with my daughter, but it's beautiful to have unbottled that feeling again with her kids. So.
I love that, Rosa. And here's the thing about your daughter. You know, I know that, and we're talking about the, you know, praying parent and how to do that. There's a glimmer of hope there, because I've heard stories of grandparents whose children, you know, don't follow the faith of their parents,
who've said, I don't want you anywhere near my kids. You know, you're not going to talk.
Yeah.
And that she has allowed you access to so much access, and that you're loving them. You're pouring out your life in them as you tuck them in. That says a lot, I think, about your daughter and the openness that, you know, the last chapter hasn't been written here. You know that, right?
Yeah, and thank you for reminding me of that, because we can get very cynical and say, well, you know, she wants her free time because she is a single mom. But thank you for reminding me of the blessing and the influence that we can have on the grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to say one more thing before the program ends, Chris. I just wanted to confess that when I first started listening to your program, it was very different, and I didn't know what to make of it, because it was so different. I feel like with every call, say to people, what is your story? Every call. And not only do you say, what is your story, but you take the time to listen. It is so special. It is, you're really amazing, because in this time of division, of hatred, of everything that's going on in the world, I feel like when I listen to your program, you're like an inspiration for me to ask people, what is your story?
Rosa, is somebody paying you to say that? That was just really special.
I've always wanted to tell you that.
Thank you.
I've always wanted to tell you, and I feel very blessed to have the opportunity to tell you what a special human being you are, and what a beautiful heart you have.
Well, Rosa, you you just don't know how much that means, and how genuine you expressed it, especially since you didn't know what to think of me. And I'll be honest with you, I still don't know what to think of me and what we're going to do with this program. But that was very kind of you to say. And if there could be anything that would come out of a program or a conversation like this, to have someone say the value of listening to someone else, and the value of not just hearing what they say, but listening so that you kind of see them. I got this email. I would love to bottle the sense of wonder that toddlers have as they begin to navigate their way through the world. I was shucking corn in June with my 2-year-old granddaughter nearby. She was watching me intently. When the ear of corn appeared, she shouted, "Corn!" and had such a look of wonder on her face. Since then, she always wants to help me shuck corn whenever we have it, and she remembers exactly what it is. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you would love to have children or grandchildren to tuck in, and that's not on the radar right now, or there's some other loss. Being able to open our eyes to what is going on, what's real out there, the struggle, the heartache, the loss, yes, that's real. But at the same time, I hope every conversation that we have here is like your father's hands going through your hair, a father who loves you, who gave his best, laid down his life for you so that you might know him, you might experience the grace and the love and the mercy and the relationship that you can have with him. That's what we hope comes through every day. Rosa, thanks for the encouragement. Chris Faber Live's a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
Remember Patrick Henry?
Give me liberty or give me death.
But on his deathbed, he said this about the Bible.
There is a book worth more than all the others, yet it is my misfortune never to have found time to read it.
Don't let his story be your story. Read the Bible. Today in the Word can help. Sign up for this free devotional at todayintheword.org. That's todayintheword.org.
You probably don't often consider that your interactions with others is an invitation to adventure with God. I'm Drew Dick, host of Moody Publishers' Reading for a Change podcast. In their new book, Sent,
Heather Holloman and her husband share how you can live out your true identity, being sent to share Jesus with others. You'll learn practical strategies to engage those in your community into meaningful conversations that can lead to gospel transformation. Grow in intimacy with Christ and with others by reading Sent, now available at moodypublishers.com.